It's serious. Serious.
The
fraternity of Jeffries several years ago, this guy almost broke down and went into a tailspin because he wasn't able to figure out how to save the fraternity from these lawsuits. I heard him say that on the program they had, the 2-hour program they had for the founder day, when they was recapping stuff that had happened. We was in danger of being totally shut down, legally shut down. And we are still in danger if we don't step away from all this hypocrisy, thinking that, okay, we can sign a paper, pretend like we're going along, but then, you know, that the DI going to turn and look the other way. No, that's crazy. And I'm not going to stand for it, and I'm serious about this. See, before I sign that paper, because Wes, he asked me next month to speak during MSP. Are they going to have a special part of the meeting talking about MSP? And he asked me to speak. And what I'm going to tell them is it's no 50% in compliance. It's no 95%. It's no 99.9%. It's got to be 100% compliance. And don't be playing around thinking that don't nobody see what you're doing and they're going to give you a get-out-of-jail card, you know, because of the fact that it's okay with them. It's not okay with them. And even though back in the day,
I felt
that was part of what it meant
Alhamdu
to be a cure. Now, trust me, one thing I want to say is,
Alhamdulillahi namadahu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudhillahu wa man yudlil fala hadiyalahu wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. All praise is due to Allah. We praise him and we ask him for help. And we ask for his protection, and we seek safety in Allah from the weakness in our own nafs and from the evil consequences of our own deeds. And whoever Allah guides, there's no one who can lead him or her astray. And who Allah finds in error, meaning deviating, there's no one to guide him or her. And I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, no God but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his messenger. Dear Muslims, Allah tells us in his book, in the holy book, Al-Quran Kareem, he says to us, A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, have taqwa for Allah. Be careful, be conscious of your duty to Allah with the care which is due to him, and do not die unless you are Muslim, meaning do not die unless you are in a state of submitting yourself completely to Allah. And Allah also says to us, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadidan yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wa man yuti Allaha wa rasulahu faqad faza fawzan azim. Again, he's addressing this to the believers. He says, O believers, O who you believe, have taqwa for Allah. Be careful of your duty. Be conscious of your duty to Allah and speak the right word. Speak the truth. Always speak the truth first to your own soul, to your own self, so you can guide yourself with the Quran and the Sunnah to stay on the right path. So when you do something, ask yourself, are you following the Quran and the Sunnah or not? And be honest about it. And if you're honest about it and repent of your deviation, then Allah will forgive you your faults and help you to get back on the right path, put you back on the right path, and he will forgive you the things that you've done if you repent. But you have to stop doing the bad stuff. You have to turn away from the evil and get back on the Sirat al-Mustaqim in order to get Allah's forgiveness. And whoever obeys Allah and his Rasul, and that's the key, to obey Allah and the Rasul, he or she indeed achieves a mighty success, a mighty victory. So our talk today is going to cover two things, actually. First of all, we want to talk about marriage in Al-Islam. We're told by our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that half of our jannah is in our marriage. To be married happily is half of the reward here on this earth, anyway, that Allah has promised us that will make us happy. So I'm going to give this to you in the English translation. Interpretation is a better word. And I want to announce also that this is being recorded, because this evening I will be broadcasting this khutbah on internet, global internet radio, so that people can hear it. Maybe there are many shut in, maybe there are many even in hospitals and in their sick beds at home. They can't get out to Juma, but maybe by them knowing that they can access a khutbah on Friday, at least it will make them feel closer to the Ummah, and it will uplift their spirit. So this is one reason why we do this. But Allah tells us in the Holy Quran, and I'll give you again the English interpretation. Allah says in Surah Al-Tawbah, he says, the believers, this is the believers in Al-Islam, the believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul, and the revelation that the Rasul brought to humanity that came directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says the believers, men and women, are protectors one of another. Men and women are protectors one of another. They advocate or promote what is righteous. What is righteous. And they forbid what is wrong. They forbid what is evil. The believers. They observe regular salat. They practice regular zakat. And that also means they practice sadaqah in many forms. And they obey Allah and his Rasul. These are the believers, men and women. They protect each other. They promote what is righteous. They forbid what is wrong, what is evil. They observe regular salat. They practice regular zakat and also sadaqah. And they obey Allah and his Rasul. And on them, will Allah pour his mercy. Pour his mercy. Allah is Ar-Rahman and Allah is Ar-Rahim. And Allah promises that he will pour his mercy, Rahim, on the believers. And he has described some of the things that the believers must do. The men and the women, they must protect each other. They must promote what is righteous. They must forbid what is wrong. They must observe regular salat, and they must also pay the regular zakat and also practice charity in other ways, which is sadaqah. And they must obey Allah and his Rasul. And these are the ones that Allah will pour his mercy on. And Allah is exalted in power. Allah is wise. And Allah has promised to the believers, the men and the women, gardens, jannati, gardens under which rivers flow, to dwell therein. In these beautiful gardens that are watered constantly by these rivers that flow through the garden and beneath the gardens, and beautiful mansions, beautiful homes in Agenda, in gardens of everlasting happiness. This is the promise that Allah has promised to the believers that do these things that He has commanded. But the greatest happiness is the good pleasure of Allah, to know that we are pleasing Allah, to have sakina in our soul, because we know that we are doing what Allah created us to do, which is to please Him. That's the greatest pleasure. That's the supreme happiness. So, dear Muslims, today we are going to speak about marriage in Al-Islam, since we are told by Prophet Muhammad that marriage in Islam is half of our deen, half of our obligation. Deena means obligation. If we want to truly be happy men, we must find a good wife and be married. If we want to really experience the true fulfillment of our life as men in Al-Islam. So Al-Islam is a religion that is in accord with the natural life of the people. And in this religion, simplicity is what is highlighted throughout the religion. So when you understand, brothers and sisters, the simple rules of nature, our nature as human beings, our nature as creatures of Allah, we will see that Al-Islam is not complicated. In Western society, and here we are in the West, and you all for a short period of time have been in the West, and will be here for those who are still here. But in much of the Eastern society, there's much effort to make things look good on the outside. A lot of time and patience in America in weddings is taken to decorate pretty wedding cakes. But we know that often there's only beautiful icing and not real cake under the icing. In some of these big weddings, they have boxes of cardboard stacked up to look very, very fancy, but there's nothing but icing on top of the cardboard. The real cake is on another table, but this is just for you to see. But in Al-Quran, humanity is told to reverence the Rabb who created us from a single soul. And the word that is translated to mean person in the English language is sometimes translated as being, but we say nafs. We know that nafs is not just what we call spiritual soul, but it's the core of the being. In the Arabic language, the word is clearly understood to refer to a person that is not completed or to an underdeveloped being. Allah says in the Holy Quran that He created the human being daifan, uncompleted, weak, needing to be improved. And so the nafs is not created in the final stage, but it's created in a stage that can be, with the help of Allah, developed to become stronger in knowledge and even stronger in iman. As we are tested, then our iman gets stronger. So we have to understand that when we say that Allah created the male and the female from a single nafsin, and then from the male and the female Allah spread many, many, many countless beings or children. So we know that human society, brothers and sisters, starts with a male and a female coming together. They accept to live with one another. And then they decide to become one family, to multiply themselves. According to the teaching of Al-Islam, when two people come together to form a union, to become one, a family of two but one family, they come together as two halves, not as two wholes. The Holy Quran teaches us that the creation of the human being or the human species began with a single nafsin, and this single nafsin was made into two beings, male and female, to form the human family as we know it. So first the society, After these two come together, the society or the marriage union, the family is created. And then, if it be the will of Allah, it reproduces itself. And we know that if there's no reproduction at all in the human family, every couple is not going to reproduce. But if there's no reproduction at all in the human family, then there can be no continuation of the life of the human family. So this need for reproduction manifests itself in what we call desire, affection, love. And in other words, that we use to describe the desire that brings the male and the female together in one union. But we know that the male and the female as sex entities are not whole beings. They are halves. They are incomplete alone. And you cannot take a half and reproduce a whole. You have to take two halves, because a whole, only a whole reproduces whole things. And so we know in Al-Islam, we're taught that the man is the maintainer of the home. The man's job is to maintain the home, to give the wife the things that she needs to make the home comfortable and beautiful, to make it safe. He is to provide the material things for his household. That burden is on the male, the man. If the woman is able to share a part of that burden with him, then that is to be considered as a gift from her. She's not obligated to help you pay the rent. In Al-Islam, it's your job, man, to pay the rent. If she has extra money and she wants to share in that responsibility, that's a gift from her, but not an obligation. Because the man is the maintainer, nothing should be said or done in the marriage ceremony that would blind him to his natural role as provider over the household. Now, I'm going to say this because you all know this already, but there are people that will be listening later that may not know this. So I'm going to say this. In the Western society, when people come together to be married, when they have weddings, people bring gifts, articles for the house. Some people may bring cookware to help the wife to start off to have something to cook with in her kitchen. Some people will bring articles of furniture, maybe a lamp or a carpet. Some people may bring glasses, you know, drinking glasses or china to eat off of. But this is supposed to help give these two people a start by giving them these household gifts. But this practice helps to blind. Listen carefully, and I'm saying this because many Americans don't understand this. This practice helps to blind the man to the role that is ahead of him for providing. The head of the household has responsibility to go out and get these things for the wife, not to depend on family and friends to always be bringing them the rent money or food or whatever. So to begin a marriage with the idea in the wife's mind that somebody's always going to be taking care of their family, it's not good. She should be conscious of the fact that it's the husband, the male, that should be the one giving these things to her, not the family members, not friends. Because people are not always going to be there in the time of need to support the family, but the man knows that one way or the other, legally and ethically, doing things that are halal, he must get out there and do the things to make her comfortable and safe and to take care of the home. So maybe things have changed in your countries that are your home, but in strict Muslim lands, people do not come to weddings with a lot of gifts. Maybe that's changing, but in strict Muslim lands, people do not come to weddings with a lot of gifts. It is traditional, it's sooner that the new couple give the guests something. Maybe it's only a few dates or a small plate with some food on it or some sweets. The people that are getting married to entertain, you might say, to invite, to acknowledge that now they are a family and they want to thank people for recognizing that, they will give the gifts. They don't expect people to be bringing them things to get their marriage started. So usually they will have a wedding feast. Usually they will have, it doesn't have to be a big feast. Those that have a lot of money may spend a lot of money to buy food, but it may only be a bowl of dates. But you want to share this happiness with the community. So if Muslims were to go back to that tradition and perform marriages as they would perform naturally in the past, it would bring about a natural change for the better in this society. And maybe if the societies in the Muslim world are changing towards Western practices, it will bring about changes for the better there. And it would make life more natural. A lot of things have happened to make marriage and to make home life unnatural and to make the wedding and the marriage artificial. But it is our job as Muslims, as we get ready to conclude this part of the khutbah, it is our job as Muslims to make marriage and the home life natural and real again. The Holy Quran says that we should revere Allah, but we should also reverence the womb of the female. Many men tend to look down upon the woman as a producer or as a childbearer. They don't give her the honor that Allah has given her to give her the ability to be a childbearer or a producer. And even if she can't physically produce a child, there are many women who can't, but Allah has put it in the nature of the female to be able to take care of children. And I'll tell you something. One day, if you're lucky, you're going to become an older man. You may get to be an old man. And you're going to be very thankful for a good woman that babies you, that treats you like a child again. Your mother may be dead, but if your wife has that maternal instinct, and all of them have it to some degree, you'll be so happy if she takes care of you like your mother would. And trust me, that's one of the most happy things that can happen in a man's life, is to get to the stage where even if his mother's not there, he knows he has a woman that will mother him and take care of him and comfort him and be there for him in thick and thin. So we have to understand that as married people, we have obligations. The first obligation is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to his Rasul, to obey Allah and the Rasul. So, as we conclude, we'll say this. In every marriage, in every relationship, there's going to come a time when there may be disagreements. That's only natural. But what we understand in the Islamic marriage is that we don't try to settle these disagreements alone. In fact, whenever the couple experiences a problem that threatens the marriage relationship or the bond between the husband and the wife, then representatives from both families should get together. If the Muslims have problems, if the Muslims' parents are not alive, then older relatives in the family of the husband should meet with older relatives from the family of the wife. If there are no older relatives, then younger, wiser people of the family should come together with the couple and try to arbitrate, to work out the differences between the two, rather than the two people trying in their emotional state of maybe anger or maybe hurt to try to work these things out. Because the people on the outside know their family member, and they can understand what may be motivating their family member to have behaved the way that he or she has behaved. And by the family members, the representatives from the family, talking with the couple, they can help them to get through these difficult periods. So whatever happens to hurt the home life of a newly wedded couple, and even a couple that's been around for a while, it affects the lives of the children. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the children of those two people. They may not have children. But you know, in a family, you have brothers and sisters and cousins who look up to the older members of the family, the ones old enough to get married. And if they see trauma, if they see a real problem, if they see hurt and pain, it's going to hurt them. The little nephews and nieces, if they hear that aunt and uncle are getting a divorce, and they love to go visit aunt and uncle, and they know that if aunt and uncle get a divorce, they're never going to be able to see them together in that home that they like to visit, it's going to hurt them. So the things that happen inside of a family don't just happen inside of the family, but they affect the blood relatives. They even affect the little children. So if our questions or our complaints are not answered when we get together with our family members, then we always go back to Allah. We start with Allah. Before we even bring anybody else into the picture, we go back to the Quran and the Sunnah, and we study how Allah has directed us to deal with each other. For example, in the beginning of the khutbah, we read where Allah says, always speak a word directed to the right. So we go back and we look at our own self and we ask ourselves, have we been completely honest with ourselves? Have we been completely honest with our mate? Have we held something back that would make the difference in the way they understood or understand what has happened to the relationship? We have to be able to come out and be clear and clean in our own conscience. So we start with going back to Allah, because if we ask Allah to guide us on the right path, if we ask Allah to help us speak the right word, then that might settle the problem right there. And then we also look at the Sunnah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we look at how did he handle situations. And as we close, you know, one of the hadiths that is really a favorite with me. I mean, I love all the hadiths that are considered to be authentic hadiths. And there are some that are weak daif and hadiths, but we really should go with the ones that we know can be trusted, okay? But the thing about it is those sahih hadiths, even then, we have to compare them with the Quran to make sure that the Quran will support them. Because over the last 1400 years, many people have had the opportunity to repeat hadiths even before they were written down. And sometimes just to change one word in a hadith can completely change the meaning. And we will talk some other time about the science of hadiths. If we understand that the answers are with Allah and His Rasul, so the more pure our heart is, the more inclined to do right, the more pure our intentions are, not to be getting the best of the situation, not to come out winning an argument, but to be serving Allah. The more pure our intentions are, the more Allah is going to open our heart to understand His orders and the orders that He has sent through His Rasul. So let us keep that in mind, that Allah has given us marriage to give us our life of happiness here in this world, as we live through the tests that God has given us to please Him. And there are going to be trials, and the Satan is going to look for ways to introduce different kinds of fitna into the situation, because he doesn't want the human being to serve Allah, and he certainly doesn't want the human being to enjoy a portion of the Jannah on this world, because Allah has given him control for a short period of time to be able to influence us, to put things into the environment, to put things into society that cause trouble. So when we are faced with trouble, we should go to Allah and go to His Rasul and ask Him to help us to get back on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, because many times, not always there, sometimes when we're not at fault, but trust me, many times when we have trouble, it's because of something we've done or failed to do. Because Allah has told us in the Quran, whatever misfortune that happens to us is something we brought with our own hands. It may not be something we can see. It may be a lack of something that we should have been doing. But if we follow Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we'll always be on the right path. And so I'm going to finish with this. As I was beginning to tell you this hadith, this is actually not going to be stated, like, you know, extra high deep with a story. And, you know, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was married for 25 years to Lady Khadija, radiallahu anha. And then when she passed, some of the companions saw that he needed to have someone to be his wife. And so he was fortunate, and so he married a lady whose husband had been killed in battle. But he had become, over the years, very, very close to Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr and his wife had children, and one of their children was a girl whose name was Aisha, radiallahu anha. And Prophet Muhammad watched her grow up, and he saw the character and the beauty in her spirit. And so as she progressed and began to develop, then he decided that she would be a good person to be a wife, a companion to him. And he would be able to teach her as he was being given revelation. He would be able to share that with her. And she would be able to, because of her mind being young and impressionable, she could not only remember Quran, but she could remember his implementation, his behavior according to the Quran. But one day, there was an issue. They had a disagreement. And so he confronted her. And he said to her, he said, Aisha, he said, your jinn is showing. Now, we're not going to get into the science of the jinn today. We'll talk about it one day. But what he was saying is that that troublesome spirit, that argumentative, that fiery spirit that is inside of you, you're letting it show. And she said to him, yes, husband, but you said you have a jinn too. We all have a jinn. That's something that comes with us when we are created for to test us. He said, yes, but I made mine submit. I made mine a Muslim. In other words, what he was saying is that you need to get control of your jinn. You need to check your jinn. I've learned to check mine, but you need to check yours. But there may be times in our life, since we're not Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when that situation is reversed, where the wife needs to tell us to check our jinn. So let us realize that only Allah is perfect, that the Quran is perfect, and that he's given us wives to help us perfect our deen, inshallah. Rabbanatina fi dunya hasanatan wa fi Allah karati hasanatan kina dhamana. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Bismillahi rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. The second part of Kubah is not going to be very long, but we do want to cover a topic entitled The Joy of Life. The Joy of Life. The English word, brothers and sisters, joy, J-O-Y, is based upon the word of rejoice, which means to be happy. And therefore, our talk in the second khutbah, which is called The Joy of Life, emphasizes the happy life. And the very first definition for happy that appears in the English dictionary is to be favored by circumstances. In other words, to have good things happening in your life. That's happiness. And thus, dear Muslims, we should try to be constantly working to bring about results of our thoughts and our actions and our intentions that are favorable, that bring good things to our life, that benefit us. We should constantly be working to bring about results in our actions and our thoughts and our intentions that benefit us, that bring good things to us. We certainly should not put ourselves in circumstances or situations that dishonor, that disgrace, or bring about harm to ourselves, unless that harm is done to produce a greater benefit, as in being wounded or killed in battle to defend one's home and one's nation. In that case, then, it's appropriate to put ourselves in harm's way for a greater good. But we certainly should not put ourselves in harm's way for a reason that's going to bring disgrace to us. So, dear Muslims, Allah tells us in the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-Ar, and I'll give you the English interpretation, he says, "And we make it easy for you to follow the simple path, the path to what is good and beneficial for you." And therefore, as we prepare to close, Allah says, give warning, give reminding to avoid things that do not result in good for us, in case that the warning profits those that hear it. He will heed, meaning he will accept, he will acknowledge and allow the warning to direct him away from wrong if he fears Allah, if he has taqwa. And whoever fears Allah, Allah will give us the victory. So dear Muslims, as we close, let us remember, as we began talking about marriage, that if we want to have joy in our life, that we should constantly be working to bring about the results of our thoughts and our actions and our intentions that will benefit our marriage. And we certainly should not put ourselves in situations or circumstances that will dishonor, that will disgrace, or bring about harm to ourselves and our mates and to the union of our marriage, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Come salam.
دعنا بالله لا إله إلا الله استوى صف تراصو وجه قلوبه في الله صلى صلاة مودع. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين.
والشمس وضحاها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها والليل إذا يغشاها والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما طحاها ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها كذب الثمود بطغواها إذ انبعث أشقاها فقال لهم رسول الله ناقة الله وسقياها فكذبوه فعقروها فدمدم عليهم ربهم بذنبهم فسواها ولا يخاف عقباها. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
آمين.
أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين، فذلك الذي يدع اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين، فويل للمصلين الذين هم في صلاتهم ساهون، الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.